Greatly appreciate your presence this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are indeed honored guests, and we're glad that you're here. Want you to come back every time that you have an opportunity to worship here with us. Had a great time yesterday at the campground, as Boyce mentioned a few moments ago. I wanted to mention a special event that we had, and that was the preparation of goodies, pies and cakes and things of that sort. And I wanted to mention one that won, and then the second and third place that came in. All of it was good, and we all had a wonderful time. First place, Brother Sister Donna Hines, and guess what her goodie was? Banana pudding. Yeah, and it was good too. Second place went to Sister Martha Bale, and Martha baked a patriotic cake, flag. Oh, it was good, delicious. She got second place. Sister Beverly Williams came in with third place, and she had peach cobbler, and it was good too. Everything was great yesterday, and I want to thank everyone, elders especially. They did so much to get all of this together. We had good food to eat. We had great fellowship together, and we got to see Dennis Marler ducked a number of times. They put up this deal, you know, kids throw the balls. And old Dennis, I couldn't believe it. He got up on that thing, and I think the first young person or second that got up there ducked him twice. They got three balls, and the first ball, down he went. And the thing has a plate over the front so you can see him under the water. It looked like a duck. Down he went. Down he went second time. So I went by him this morning. I said, Dennis, are you okay? Did you get a cold? No, I did all right. I went home, got in a hot tub. We all had a great time. And if you weren't able to make it, we hope you'll be able to be with us the next time we get together at the campgrounds. It's a beautiful place, and so glad that the Lord's allowed us to have that. I told you last week that I will be speaking for 3 Sundays in a row. Next Sunday will be my last Sunday for this month. But I wanted to look at some things together, so I thought maybe I ought to just pick out a certain book and we could study that together. Then I began to thinking, no, what are some of the things that come to your mind every day? And I'm honest with you folks, these particular verses that I'm sharing with you come to my mind almost every day. If someone mentions something, these verses pop out. It may not, see, I had to pick out 6 of them, but it may very well be that I left out some others that I really wanted to speak on. I love all the Word of God, and I got so many of the verses in my head. So I thought, what are the verses that I want to study? Last week, we studied James 1, verse 17. What a powerful verse of Scripture, and I think about it quite often. It speaks concerning the power of God, and it tells us that no man hath ever seen God. So sometimes we got folks who say, well, if you can't show God to me, I can't believe in it. What color is gravity? Do you know? Tell me. What color is gravity? When's the last time you saw gravity or talked to him? He exists, you know. And the reason we know that he exists, get up on a ladder and try to step off. Gravity will pull you right quick. We know it exists. Look, no, I've never seen God. That's what James 1:17 says. No man hath ever seen God. That means no one can see God. Oh, no, we'll see him, according to Revelation 22, verse 4. But we can't see him with the physical. Angels are around him all the time. They see God. Jesus is in the very bosom of the Heavenly Father. He has seen him and declared him to us. But as long as we're in the human flesh, we will not see God. That's the reason 1 Corinthians 15 is put where it is. That tells us we'll have to be changed. We'll get new eyes, we'll get new bodies, and they will be the heavenly, and we'll go to be with him. So when somebody asks me, well, you show me God and I'll believe. You show me gravity. You show me its color. Right? You just see the results. I see the results of Almighty God every day that I live. In fact, I breathe air. That's the result of Almighty God. He gave me breath. He gave me life. So watch what you say. Don't tempt the Lord our God. That's what Jesus Christ said. So that's a powerful verse. Sunday night I talked about John 3:16. We all remember that verse. Tremendous. God so loved the world. This morning I'm going to look at another verse that's always here in my head. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it is not I, it is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God, by faith in Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. To me, that's a tremendous verse. Always has been. Always will be. Churches in Galatia were having trouble. By the way, churches will always have trouble. I've had individuals who said, I have been searching for the perfect place to worship all my life. Well, you're not going to find it. I said, what are you talking about? I am saying, as long as we're in the human flesh, we're going to irritate somebody or somebody's going to irritate us. That's just the way it is. There's nothing you can do about it. Except, as Paul said, crucify yourself. Get off of that old thing and say, all right, I'm going to worship the Lord whether anybody else does or not. I know to whom I belong, and I'm giving my life to Him. And so then we'll begin to understand why Paul wrote what he wrote. Churches in Galatia are having trouble. Some of the most trouble that we get into is a false teacher. Paul had established the churches in Galatia on the first missionary journey. And the churches that we know about is Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Now, there were other congregations which are not listed, no doubt, and that continued to spread out through Galatia. If you got a map of the land, you'll see that Galatia was the center part of what we call Asia Minor. They were broken up, just like Texas, Louisiana, places like that. So Galatia's in the center of Asia Minor. And here Paul went, first of all, to Iconium, he and Barnabas. There was a synagogue there at Iconium. The Jews are in dispersion. They are scattered all over the Mediterranean world at that time. And therefore, wherever they went, they established synagogues, places of worship. Paul, therefore, recognizing a synagogue is here in Iconium, they go into the synagogue. And they began to preach Jesus Christ. By the way, any place Paul went, he was recognized. He was a doctor of the law. He had those stripes on his sleeve. Everybody, when he walked in the room, they knew who he was, or they knew what he represented. Oh, professor, you've come to visit us today. Would you mind saying a few words to the congregation? He said, oh, I would be glad to. He gets up and he preaches Christ. There's men and brethren, I want you to know that God's promise to Abraham has been fulfilled. Through Jesus Christ, now we have forgiveness of our sins. And Moses even spoke of him, saying there's going to be a greater prophet that's going to arise than I. And it'll be through him that you must hear all things if you expect to go to heaven. And he preached that to these people. And many of the Jews were obedient to the faith, and even many of the Gentiles came to Christ. Had a great revival going on there. But any time that happens, the old devil's going to be mad. And so there were these leaders among the Jews that saw the Jews leaving them and going after Christ, and they were upset. So they told Paul and Barnabas, "You had to get out of town, or we're going to stone you to death." So they fled. They went to the next town, which was called Lystra. You can read about this in the 14th chapter of Acts, by the way. This is the first missionary journey. They go to Lystra. Now, Lystra is quite important to us because that's where a young man's from by the name of Timothy. And on the second missionary journey, Paul took Timothy with him. He became a great gospel preacher and won many souls to Christ. But Timothy lives at Lystra, and he's a young man. Now, when he obeyed the gospel, I do not know. He had a mother, Eunice, and a grandmother, Lois, who were very faithful unto the Lord. They were children of God. They were Jewish. She had married a Gentile. And little Timothy was brought up on the Word of God. Now, whether Paul baptized him or someone else, we're not told. I do know that often when Paul talked about Timothy, he called him his son in the faith. Y'all remember? So whether he did the baptizing or he just called him his son in the faith, I don't know. I don't know how old he was. But I do know on the second missionary journey, when Paul came to Lystra, everybody was telling him, "You ought to hear little Timothy preach the word. He's something else. He's a young man preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and souls are being won." And Paul therefore took Timothy, he and Silas, and then later Luke joins them on that second missionary journey. They get to go into Europe, by the way, the second journey. And so Paul then is now writing a letter. He writes it to the churches in Galatia. So we know about Iconium. We know about Lystra. The last one's Derbe. At Lystra, they stoned Paul to death. You remember? And maybe little old Timothy saw that. They threw him on a trash heap. And what they would usually do at the end of the week or so, they'd burn that trash heap and anything on it. So Paul is destined to go up in flames. Either that or the birds of heaven will eat his flesh or wild animals will tear him apart. But to their surprise, they drug him down through the city and threw him out on the truck. Let everybody see what we can do to Paul. Paul got up off the trash heap, walked down with the disciples, went back into Lystra and comforted them, and then went to Derbe. Y'all know why I remember he goes to Derbe. See, you got to use this old thing here to remember things. You know why I know he went to Derbe? After they stoned him, his head hurt, so he put a derby on. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? That's the way I remember things. So he went to Derbe, and he had a great hearing at Derbe. Many obeyed the gospel. We do not know how many thousands members of the church there were in Galatia at that time. But Paul writes to them because some false teacher was coming in and trying to destroy the work that Paul and Barnabas had done, as they always did. Paul writes in the first chapter, "I marvel that you are so soon removing yourself from him who called you to the grace of God unto another gospel." There's not another gospel. There are those who would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ, but though he be an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which I preached, let him stand accursed. In chapter 2, he proves his apostleship. See, they were saying, "Oh, Paul's not really an apostle. And unless you people receive circumcision, you can't be saved." By the way, in Galatians 5:4, Paul said, "If you do the things of the law, if you go back to the law and you bind circumcision, you've fallen from grace." Have y'all read that? Then Paul tells the brethren, "I'm crucified with Christ." Here's a great professor of the law. He said, "I am willing, I died with Christ." But I'm still alive, and the reason I'm alive is Christ is living in me. See what Galatians 2:20 is all about? It's just absolutely marvelous. I want us to look at some of that. Our life here depends on where we're going to live in the hereafter. Last week, I used a verse of Scripture with you that had to do with Paul's words in Philippians 3. And Paul made a statement, I have divorced myself of all things that I might win Christ. Be found in Him, not a righteousness of my own, but righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. And that's what he's saying here. I'm living a life of faith. He says that's what it's all about. It's too late to change. Let us suppose that you die, and we're going to. And you find that once you die, it's you're in the wrong place. What you going to do about it? I hate to tell you, there's nothing you can do about it. You either change while you live here. This is our proving ground. This is, Jim, like boot camp. We either make it or we don't make it. And all these trials and things that come upon us, brothers and sisters, it does nothing but strengthen our faith. It sees what we made out of. We either stand strong for the Lord or we go away. If we go away, we're going to be lost. So ever we live in this life determines where we're going to live in the hereafter. Yeah, it's all about now. Jesus gave this illustration. He said one time, this is in Luke 16, you can begin around verse 19. He said there was a man, a very wealthy man. He fared sumptuously every day. He ate what he wanted. He was wealthy. He was even clothed in purple and fine linen. But there was also a poor man, a beggar. And he would stay at the rich man's gate and just beg for crumbs. He didn't want a T-bone steak. Just give me the crumbs that fall off your table. No man gave to him. Moreover, the poor man was infested with sores on his body. He didn't have the money to go to a doctor. Along would come little old dogs, and they'd lick those sores. Process of time, Jesus said, the poor man died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Better listen to this. Now, these are people living under the law, which shows you that even under the law, people can be lost. He died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Notice when a good man dies, you don't have to be poor to be a good man. I'm telling you, it's how we live in this life going to determine where we're going to live in the hereafter. The poor man was a good man. What happened to him? He was escorted to Abraham's bosom, to paradise, by the angels. Are there angels about us? Sure are. Hebrews 1:14. They're sent to minister to the children of God. They're about us. I'll tell you something else that's about us too. That's evil. And it's all about us. 1 Peter 5:8, he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You got to be careful. Poor man dies carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell. You mean the angels didn't help him? No. His soul goes to a place of torment. Now he's able to look across over there. He wishes he had changed. He wishes that it was still life. He said, I got five brothers. Could you just send Lazarus so that he could tell them? They've got the law. Let them read it. Oh, they won't listen to the Bible. Then that's their own fault. Folks, how we live, what we do in this life determines where you and I will live in eternity. It's serious. It's too late to change once we die. By the way, Ecclesiastes 9:10, I put that in there. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it now with all of thy might. For there is no work nor device, nor is there knowledge or wisdom to the grave where you're all going. Whew. There's your powerful verse. You and I live in three realms. In the realm of knowledge. What is knowledge? What comes to us from the five senses? If you see something, you say, I know it's real. I see it. Right? If you hear something, you know it's something you heard. If you taste something, banana pudding. If you taste something, you know it's good. See what I'm saying? If you touch something. See what there's always saying there in the Old Testament. Let me see you, Lord. Let me touch you. Even Moses wanted to. He said, no, long as you're in that physical body, you cannot see me. No man can. So not even Moses got to see the good Lord. That's human wisdom. We've got great men, great scientists. And you know they will make statements that really make you feel good. They'll say, there's got to be someone who did all of this. It didn't just happen. But since we can't see him, and since we can't touch him, then he doesn't exist. I'd already gave you an illustration about gravity, didn't I? Then there's a matter of opinion. Everybody has an opinion about everything. And usually, folks, our opinion is handed down from grandma and grandpa, daddy and mama. Right? How you are taught is what you primarily, you're going to believe. If you taught some people or beneath other people, that's what you're going to believe. See? So everybody has their opinion. I have my opinion about things. You have your opinion. Most of them are colored by prejudice. Everybody's prejudiced. Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. You like peach cobbler better than you do banana pudding. Well, I always liked it better because that's how Mama made it. I know. So we get colored that way, you see? That's our thing. That's opinion. And everybody is given their opinion. You draw your opinion again from the five senses. Things we see, hear, touch. All right. Well, what is faith? Well, faith is that which comes from believing God's Word. Looking at it. That's what it says. All right. Romans 10:17. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You don't have to see it to believe it. I have not seen the nail-scarred hands of my Lord, but I believe it with all my heart. There's too much evidence out there. I have never seen God, but there's too much evidence. I believe it with all my heart. 2 Corinthians 5:7 is a good answer to that guy that says, I'll see it and then I'll believe it. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Then Galatians 2:20 that we're looking at. I live by faith in him who loved me, gave himself for me. Let me give you some examples. My time is running out. Here's some examples of great men and women throughout time who believed in God. And they are men of faith. Noah. You know, the world had gotten so bad. It's bad now, right? But what if you lived in a place where nobody was righteous? Where there was evil everywhere you looked. These people were just absolutely evil. God, it repented him. He said, I've made man. I'll just wipe him off the face of the earth. But God looked upon Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said to Noah, I'm going to bring a flood of waters upon the earth, and it will destroy all living things. Make thee an ark. And here's the size of it. I want it to be 300 cubits long. I want it to be 50 cubits wide and 40 cubits high. Noah said, okay, Lord, I got that all written down. And so Noah builds the ark, and he builds it 200 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 40 cubits high. Now, what do you think would have happened to the ark? It would have sunk. He didn't follow God's word. God said 300, not 200, not 100. You see why he's called a man of faith? In chapter 6, 22, it says he did everything God told him to do. You want to be a man or woman of faith, then you do everything God tells you to do in that book. That's where faith comes from, hearing God's word. Romans 10, verse 17. What about old Abraham? You know, Abraham wanted children so bad, God promised him, you'll have an heir. So he even tried, they tried to help God out by giving him a handmaiden. Remember? God said, no, I told you that you and Sarah are going to have a child. And poor old Sarah, she was an old woman. Well, Abraham was too. He's 100 years old. And lo, here comes little Isaac. Can you believe it? And he thanks God, oh, Father, my faith needs to be stronger. He was a friend of God. He trusted God. He followed God. God did what he said he would do. I'll give you a son, gave him Isaac. Go to chapter 22 and verse 2. Now Abraham, after Isaac is weaned, I don't know how old he is. How old is a child when he's weaned? He's a young boy. Now take thy son, thine only son, unto a place that I will show you. And there you build an altar, then tie him down, and you kill him as a sacrifice to me. Abraham got his old donkeys together. He got some servants to go with them. He got some wood for the fire and all of that. And took his knife. And here they go. And the boy keeps on saying to his daddy, Father, where's the sacrifice? We forgot the sacrifice, Dad. He said, Son, God will provide a sacrifice. He knew all the time Isaac's the sacrifice. He believed God. And the Bible says it was reckoned to him for righteousness. He bound that boy and was about to take his life. An angel of God was sent to hold his hand and said, don't kill the boy. God says, now I know you will do what I say to do. No wonder he's called the great man of faith, folks. It takes that kind of faith. God's not asking us to sacrifice our kids, but this was a trial to see if Abraham was really going to do what God said. And the Bible is a trial to see whether we're going to really do what God said. Are we going to listen to Johnny over here, or Jimmy over there, or Sue over there? Who are we going to listen to? Listen to what the Word of God says. All right, now we come to the man of the hour, Saul of Tarsus. Acts the 9th chapter. Saul is a very cruel man. He has been killing Christians. He got letters to go to Damascus and to bind Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem that they might be put to death. And the Lord arrested him on the road to Damascus. Saul, what are you doing? A light. Great light shined about him. What are you doing? Who are you, Lord? He said, I'm the one that you're persecuting. I'm Jesus Christ. Hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? Something had been gnawing at Paul a long time. Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? You go into the city of Damascus. And it'll be told you what you must do. Y'all hear this now? He had to do what the Lord told him to do, or he would have been lost. The men take him by the hand. He's blinded. They go into Damascus. The Lord speaks unto a gospel preacher by the name of Ananias. Ananias, you go over to the street called Straight. and you go into a man's house by the name of Judas, inquire for a fellow by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He wants to know what he needs to do to be saved. Now, Lord, I don't want to question your word, but I know Saul of Tarsus. He's killed many of your saints, Father, already. Ananias, go your way. He's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings of the earth. And I will show him what great things he's going to have to suffer for my cause. Ananias came to him. He said, here, Saul, let me fix your eyes so you can see. He hasn't eaten anything. He won't drink anything. He's been praying for 3 days. He said, now, Saul, no point in tarrying. Arise and be baptized. Wash your sins away. And he arose and was baptized. Acts 22:16. Now, you sit back and you say, now, preacher, I know that's what the Bible said, but Brother So-and-so, I don't care what Brother So-and-so said. If he preaches any other gospel than that which is in the book, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:8-9. No other gospel. You do what the Bible said, because, see, if you do, you're walking by faith. Now, let's go back to the words of Paul. What did he say in Philippians 3? I willingly gave up everything I had to be a servant of Jesus Christ and to follow him. I count them as refuge. Paul was a wealthy man. He gave it up to follow Christ. Yeah. Here are some serious questions for all of us. How do you feel about the work of Christ? Does it come number one with you? Do you have to beat yourself out of the bed on Sunday morning to get to services? Would you rather be at a ball game? Now, Dan, you quit preaching, you started meddling. I sure have. That's what my job is. And the Lord will get on to me if I don't bring it up. I'm telling you, in order to go to heaven, we got to be like Paul and say, I am crucified with Christ. He come number one. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things be added to you. Well, Dan, you don't understand. No, I understand. I got problems just like everybody else. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know where I'd rather be than right here with my people. Now, you relay that to every brother and sister you know. And you let them know that we're a family. And any time, we're fixing to have family reunion. My family reunion's coming up at the end of the month. And they'll expect to see me. And if I'm not there, guess what happens? Old Bob and Norma call me. Some of the others, they'll say, where in the world were you? I said, what do you mean? I ran to Dallas. Nuh-uh. You got to be down to Will's Point, boy. You know what day it is. That's the day the Carters come together, and we expect to see you. Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but exhort one another so much the more as you see that day approaching. Oh, we've got to be faithful to the Lord. And by the way, a while ago, announcement was made that team number 4, I believe it is, was going to meet with their visitation team today. Did you know that the visitation team now have been going on about 18, 19 years? We set that up when I first came here. And these good brothers and sisters, they receive these visitation assignments every week, and they go out and they do that work. And I just praise them for it. We got folks who do things behind the scene that I never know anything about. They want to do it because they're doing it for the Lord. There are some of you in this audience that have been teaching the Word of God over 50 or 60 years. God bless your heart. What comes first? I hope the lesson's beneficial. be crucified with Christ. Then you can live. But it is not you. It's Christ living in you. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ this morning, all things are ready. We encourage you to come to Him before it's too late. I know you believe it with all your heart. Then repent. Turn away from those sins. Confess that name. Be buried with Him in baptism. Be raised to walk a new life. And it may be that you've obeyed but drifted away. Come home. Let's pray together. Be faithful to your Lord till death, and heaven's your home. Revelation 2:10. You'd like to place membership with us? You can do that. We want you to come while together we stand and sing.